So, picture this. It's the afternoon of May 22, 2026.
Okay.
You are sitting in the press room on the first floor of the National Development and Reform Commission, the NDRC, in Beijing.
Right, which is usually a pretty dry affair, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely. These briefings are, standard bureaucratic events. Journalists have their laptops open, mostly just scrolling on their phones.
Yeah.
They're waiting for maybe one or two lines about economic stimulus. And up at the microphone is Li Qiao, the deputy director of the Policy Research Office.
Okay, setting the scene.
Right. So he's reading through this prepared document full of standard bureaucratic language, and then he just drops this one sentence, quote, "We are guiding domestic large models to further adapt to domestic computing chips."
I mean, it sounds like an administrative box being checked.
Exactly.
It's the kind of sentence that usually puts a room right to sleep.
Right. And the room certainly didn't gasp. On the surface, it's a fundamentally boring sentence. But within minutes of those words being spoken, semiconductor stocks on both the Shanghai and Shenzhen exchanges just exploded. They
Whoa.
shot straight up
Yeah.
because the market, unlike maybe the casual observer, knew exactly what that sentence actually meant.
Right, because what was happening at that podium wasn't, a promise of some minor government subsidy. It was a
Yeah.
state declaration. That single boring sentence was the government basically dictating exactly who's going to buy what in the future of the robotics and AI industry.
And that actually brings us to the mission for today's deep dive. We are unpacking an incredibly detailed, multi-layered report on a massive coordinated push happening right now
Yeah.
in 2026 to completely dominate the global humanoid robot industry.
That's a huge shift.
It really is. And the sources reveal a very deliberate two-pronged strategy. So on one side, there is the construction of a 2 trillion yuan, quote-unquote, brain for these robots.
Right.
And then on the other side, you have the sudden opening of the capital market floodgates to provide the financial fuel to build the robots' physical bodies.
Yeah, and if we look at the sheer scale of this blueprint, you first have to understand why a mandate on computing chips matters so much for physical robots.
Right, what's the connection?
Well, it all comes down to a fundamental physical limitation of the hardware itself.
Okay, so if I buy a robot to like fold my laundry or work on a factory assembly line, the basic assumption is that the brain is inside the robot.
Like a laptop, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You open it up, there's a processor.
That's the intuitive way to think about it. But a humanoid robot is heavily, heavily constrained by weight and, even more importantly, battery life.
Oh, right.
Yeah, if you put enough localized computing power, what the industry calls edge chips, meaning the processing happens right there on the physical
Wait, on
device.
the robot.
Exactly. If you put enough of that inside the robot to handle real-time complex spatial reasoning, the battery would drain in a matter of minutes.
Wow, just minutes. Yeah. The robot would literally have to carry a massive liquid-cooled server on its back just to navigate a messy living room. The thermodynamics and weight constraints just, they don't work.
So the solution outlined in the sources is a concept called cloud robotics.
Yes.
You essentially hollow out the robot's brain. You let the robot carry like a basic chip in a standard battery, but the actual heavy lifting, the complex calculations of, say, how much pressure to apply when gripping a fragile glass.
Or how to dynamically balance while stepping over a power cable.
Right, exactly. All of that happens in a massive data center miles away, so the robot just becomes a wireless terminal.
Think of it like the data center acts as the cerebral cortex, and the physical robot is just the sensory organs and the muscles.
That makes sense.
But for that architecture to function, you need an infrastructure of unimaginable scale. And that brings us back to the NDRC's blueprint.
The 2 trillion yuan plan.
Exactly. A plan spanning 5 years to build a national AI data center network. And to put that number into perspective, 2 trillion yuan is roughly 295 trillion South Korean won.
Which is massive.
It is close to half of South Korea's entire annual national budget being poured into a single unified computing infrastructure project.
Half the budget. Wow.
And some market analyses in the sources suggest that when you add in the necessary massive power grid upgrades required to run these servers, the real cost will probably top 5 trillion yuan.
And it's not just about throwing up giant warehouse server farms either, right? It's about speed.
Yes, speed is everything here.
The Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, the MIT, laid down a mandate that is honestly mind-bending. By 2028, 75% of major urban areas must have a latency of 1 millisecond to these computing resources.
1 millisecond. Achieving a 1 millisecond round trip for data over a wireless network is an incredibly difficult physical engineering challenge.
It's what, 1/300th of the time it takes you to blink your eye?
Roughly, yeah.
But the logic is sound. If a robot is pouring hot coffee or operating heavy machinery on an assembly line and it loses connection to its cloud brain for even half a second, that's a disaster.
Exactly.
It cannot freeze mid-movement. It needs continuous, instantaneous instruction.
And this is where we return to that boring sentence from the briefing room. Because the global semiconductor industry isn't terrified by the 2 trillion yuan budget itself.
They aren't.
No, they're terrified by the specific condition attached to it, which the industry is calling the 80% rule.
Ah, okay.
The NDRC guideline mandates that any new AI data center built within this network must use at least 80% domestic hardware and software.
Meaning chips from local companies.
Right. Companies like Huawei and Cambricon. And in critical sectors like finance or energy infrastructure, that number cannot drop below 70%.
So this is a massive strategic shift. Because historically, when governments want to boost their domestic tech sector, they subsidize the supply side.
Right. They give grants.
Yeah. They give grants to chip makers and say, here's $1 billion. Go research and build better chips. But this is a demand side guarantee.
It's totally different.
Yeah, if you guarantee that 80% of a multi-trillion yuan market will just blindly buy whatever domestic chip startups produce, regardless of whether it's the absolute best quality out there.
You fundamentally change the survival math for those startups.
Right.
It provides the ultimate runway. Usually, an AI chip company has to compete head-to-head with NVIDIA for customers, which is, frankly, a near impossible task given NVIDIA's dominance.
Yeah, they own the market.
Exactly. But under this new mandate, NVIDIA and AMD are effectively capped at competing for less than 20% of this massive infrastructure.
Wow.
Chinese chip designers now have an ironclad guarantee. Even if their software is, you know, a bit clunky out of the gate, even if the processing speed isn't perfect, 80% of the market is legally forced to buy their product.
So they get paid while they practice, essentially.
Yes. They will survive, they will generate massive revenue, and they will have the luxury of time to iterate and improve.
So who is actually capitalizing on this guaranteed customer base right now to build this robotic brain?
But the primary answer right now is Huawei.
Okay, let's look at their Ascend 950PR chip, which entered mass production in April of 2026. The performance numbers on this are wild.
They really are.
When you compare it to NVIDIA's H20, which, just for context, is the specific scaled-down, export-controlled version NVIDIA is legally allowed to sell in China.
Right.
The Ascend chip is 2.8 times faster at FP4 inference. Now, for anyone who doesn't spend their weekends reading semiconductor spec sheets, FP4 inference is essentially a measure of how fast an AI can make very quick, low-precision guesses.
Yes.
It doesn't need to calculate pi to the 50th decimal place,
okay.
Right? It just needs to know, hey, that's coffee cup, don't crush it, and it needs to know it instantly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the Ascend chip excels at this.
And the cost is crazy. It costs about 70,000 RMB.
Which is roughly 12,000 US dollars.
Compare that to an NVIDIA H200, which goes for around 250,000 RMB. Mm-hmm. So Huawei's chip is roughly a third of the price. And for these specific robotic and AI tasks, it's significantly faster.
And Huawei's strategy here is fascinating because they didn't just compete on the physical hardware. They actually attacked NVIDIA's greatest underlying strength, which is its software ecosystem.
Like the CUDA platform.
Right, CUDA. For over a decade, NVIDIA built this incredibly deep, sticky software moat. Millions of developers learned to write AI code specifically in CUDA. And that code only ran smoothly on NVIDIA chips.
So you were locked in?
Entirely.
Oh.
Switching hardware meant rewriting years of code, which was just too expensive and painful. So Huawei released a software bridge called CNN.
A bridge.
Think of it like a universal translator. It allows developers to take the code they wrote in NVIDIA's environment and seamlessly port it over to the Huawei Ascend chip with minimal effort.
Oh, wow.
They essentially drained the moat.
And you can see the ripple effect of that translator immediately in the market. I mean, the sources point out that ByteDance just placed a $5.6 billion order for Ascend chips.
That's huge.
That's about 350,000 units. But even more telling is what happened with DeepSeek V4.
Yeah, this is a great example.
This is a highly anticipated 1 trillion parameter AI model. And they actually delayed their own massive launch by 3 months for one specific reason.
To switch chips.
Exactly, to rewrite their entire model to run natively on Huawei and Cambricon chips instead of NVIDIA.
It's the deliberate creation of a closed loop. The domestic AI brain is now running on domestic hardware, using domestic translation software.
And it's working.
It is. By the first quarter of 2026, market estimates put domestic AI chips at roughly 52% market share in China.
Wow.
And look at the trajectory over time. NVIDIA held 95% of the market in 2021. By 2025, it was 55%. And Bernstein projections suggest NVIDIA could drop to just 8% of the Chinese AI chip market in 2026.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second. If they have the market guarantee, the software bridge is built, and the chips are this cheap, is the tech war essentially over?
Well, no, because a cheap chip and a clever software bridge don't just instantly win a global tech war. They still have to physically manufacture these things, right?
Yeah, the actual printing.
Exactly. And that is the brutal reality check hiding beneath all those impressive market share numbers. It comes down to a severe manufacturing bottleneck caused by U.S. export bans.
Right, because Huawei doesn't print its own chips.
Correct. Huawei designs them and relies on SMIC, a domestic foundry, to actually physically print the silicon using a 7-nanometer process.
Okay.
But because of strict U.S. export bans on EUV lithography machines, which are basically the only tools capable of reliably printing microscopic circuitry at an atomic scale, SMIC has to use older, far less efficient methods.
Which dramatically impacts the yield rate.
Dramatically is an understatement. The estimated yield rate for these complex chips is hovering around 20%.
Wait, 20%? So for every 10 chips they painstakingly manufacture, they literally have to throw 8 of them in the garbage because of microscopic defects.
Yes, it is incredibly wasteful and staggeringly expensive. They have an ambitious target to ship 750,000 of these Ascend chips this year, but it's a massive uphill struggle against that 20% yield rate.
That's rough.
The 80% demand mandate guarantees they have buyers, but the physical supply side is still incredibly fragile. This is the honest, raw reality of their drive for complete silicon independence. It is costing them a fortune in wasted silicon.
And this creates a fascinating, almost paradoxical side effect right next door in South Korea.
Right.
Because China is rushing to build this 2 trillion yuan data center infrastructure right now. They need memory chips, mountains of them.
Yep.
And right now, they cannot reliably manufacture the high-end memory themselves. So South Korea is experiencing this massive, unexpected short-term boom. SK Hynix and Samsung saw their semiconductor exports to China jump an astonishing 243% by May of 2026.
It completely flipped South Korea's trade deficit with China into a $3.8 billion surplus. The sheer demand from these data centers caused the price of 16-gigabyte DDR5 memory modules to surge nearly 700% in a single year.
700%. But the sources are very clear on this.
Mm-hmm.
It is a ticking clock for South Korea.
A very loud ticking clock. Mm-hmm. Because a Chinese company called CXMT is already sampling HBM3 memory.
That's the high bandwidth memory crucial for AI.
Exactly. And they are sending those early samples to Huawei. Now, yes, CXMT is technically 2 to 3 years behind the top Korean firms, and they will absolutely face those same brutal yield rate issues we just talked about.
Right.
But remember the 80% mandate. Right now, that rule applies heavily to the computing chips. The very moment CXMT achieves acceptable mass production, that state pressure will instantly apply to memory chips as well.
Wow.
The window of hyper-profitability for South Korean firms will slam shut. And when that happens, China will have completed its independent digital empire, relying on absolutely no one else's technology stack for the brain.
Okay, but a 2 trillion yuan wireless brain is completely useless if it doesn't have a physical body to control.
Very true.
And this is where the strategy hits a massive wall, because building physical hardware is notoriously brutal. They call it the valley of death in the industry.
Yes, the difference between software and hardware is just unforgiving.
How so?
In software, if you find a bug, you write a patch overnight and push the update to millions of users for essentially zero cost.
Right.
In hardware manufacturing, if you design a robotic hand slightly wrong, you have to scrap millions of dollars in custom tooling, physically retool the factory floor, and wait 6 months for the new parts to arrive.
Ouch.
And the cash burns relentlessly while you wait. That gap between prototype and profitable mass production is the valley of death.
So how are these Chinese startups surviving that valley? The cash burn rate for humanoids must be astronomical.
They are surviving by utilizing a completely different financial engine than the West.
Like public markets.
Exactly. In the U.S., a robotics company relies heavily on massive private venture capital. Think of Tesla using its own deep corporate pockets, or Figure AI securing billions from private backers like OpenAI and Microsoft.
Right, big private money.
But in China, the state has actively weaponized its public stock markets, specifically the Star Market in Shanghai and the Hong Kong Exchange. They have opened the regulatory doors for these loss-making, cash-burning robot startups to go public under a national banner of cultivating new productive forces.
So they are essentially transferring the massive risk of hardware R&D from private founders directly onto public retail investors.
Yes.
And the poster child for this strategy is a company called Unitree. By 2025, they were the number one global shipper of pure humanoid robots. And their IPO story is staggering. From the day they filed their application to the day they were approved on, the Star Market took exactly 73 days.
A 73-day turnaround is almost unheard of for a complex, deep tech hardware company.
And when they filed, they presented something very real for a robotics startup. Mm-hmm. Profitability.
Which is shocking.
Right. Their 2025 revenue was 1.7 billion RMB, up 10 times in just 2 years. They posted an actual net profit. On paper, they look like the unicorn every investor dreams of finding.
But if you dig into the prospectus, there's a bit of a financial illusion at play here.
Wait, really? Let's look at the numbers. Because their famous humanoid robot, the G1, retails for just 99,000 RMB. That's about $13,000. How do you make a massive profit selling cutting-edge robots that cheaply?
Well, you don't.
Oh.
The real profits driving that shiny IPO actually came from their older, established, much more expensive industrial quadruped model.
The robotic dogs.
Exactly. The dogs used for pipeline inspections and security. The G1 humanoid is an amazing symbol of price destruction, but it is certainly not the cash cow. In fact, by the first quarter of 2026, the cracks in the armor started to show. Unitree's overall revenue jumped 68%, but their net profit actually plunged by 52%.
Because the math of R&D and scaling costs for the humanoids are basically eating them alive.
Yeah, Unitree even explicitly added intensified competition to their official risk factors.
Wow.
The state didn't rush their IPO in 73 days because Unitree had a flawless, perpetually profitable business model. They rushed it because Unitree proved they could physically mass produce the machines.
So it was a reward.
Basically.
Yeah.
The state's goal was to hand them a 4.2 billion RMB public war chest, almost 800 billion Korean won, one before their temporary profits evaporated entirely into the cash burn valley.
And they're going to need every single penny of that 4.2 billion RMB war chest, because they are certainly not alone. As Unitree uses that capital to build smart factories to pump out 75,000 humanoids a year, there is a tsunami of hyper-specialized competitors flooding the public markets right behind them.
It is a modern-day gold rush.
A gold rush of terrifying scale, honestly. Oh. You have a company called Engine AI that claims they can fully assemble one robot every 15 minutes.
Which is incredibly fast.
Then you have Linkerbot, a company based in Beijing that literally only makes robotic, dexterous hands. They don't make the arms, they don't make the legs, just the hands. And they are pushing for a $6 billion valuation across U.S. and Hong Kong listings.
And this brings us to a crucial economic concept highlighted repeatedly in the sources. It's a phenomenon known in China as Neiwan, which translates to involution.
Involution.
Right. It basically means cutthroat, inward-facing, overcapacity competition. You currently have over 150 companies churning out more than 330 different models of what industry critics are calling identical tin can robots.
Wow, 150 companies.
State media outlets like Kaixin and even senior executives within these top robot companies are openly warning of a massive, unsustainable bubble.
This sounds exactly like the early 2000s dot-com crash, or, you know, more recently, the brutal EV price wars, where companies just bled each other dry, selling cars at steep losses until only a few giants like BYD were left standing.
That analogy is spot on. But here is a critical insight to take away from the sources. This bubble isn't an accident resulting from poor planning.
It's intentional.
Yes. This bubble is a feature of the system, not a bug. It is a strategically weaponized bubble.
Okay, so by allowing these startups to tap into public markets and raise billions, the state gives them the cash reserves required to sell their robots far below the actual cost of manufacturing.
Exactly. They can afford to take heavy losses on every single unit sold.
And that dynamic intentionally crashes the market price of a humanoid robot from 1 million RMB down to 99,000 RMB in just a single year.
Yes, and that price destruction expands the total addressable market at lightning speed. It is a massive Darwinian experiment funded by retail capital.
A Darwinian experiment.
Yeah. The policymakers know full well that 90% of these 150 robotics companies are going to run out of money and go bankrupt.
Which will be a financial bloodbath for the investors.
Absolutely. The retail investors holding stock in those specific failed companies will lose out. But for the state's broader industrial strategy, the experiment is a roaring success.
Why? Because of the survivors.
Precisely. Because the two or three companies that actually survive this brutal gauntlet will emerge as absolute monsters.
Right.
They will have battle-tested, completely vertical supply chains, endless capital backing, and most importantly, because their dirt-cheap robots have been deployed into millions of homes and factories, they will have oceans of real-world training data.
And that data makes the AI smarter.
Exactly. They will be uniquely positioned to absolutely dominate the global robotics market.
You know, it's easy to look at these multi-trillion yuan budgets and stock market mechanics and think of this as just abstract, distant financial news.
Oh, absolutely.
But the result of this bubble is intensely physical and highly relevant to your daily life. I mean, the robot that eventually folds your laundry, stocks the shelves at your local grocery store, or works the assembly line in your town, it's being subsidized by this exact price war right now.
Yeah, it's happening right now.
It's being forged in this incredibly high-stakes, state-sponsored survival game powered by a 2 trillion yuan wireless brain and an intentionally ruthless hardware bubble.
And exploring all of this leaves us with a really profound final question to consider.
What's that?
Well, we've talked extensively about the massive hardware investments, the software bridges, and the ruthless capital markets, right? But think about the ultimate end game here.
Sure.
If a nation successfully builds a completely independent, closed-loop digital ecosystem, from the domestic data center brain down to the domestic memory chips, all the way to the physical robot bodies functioning entirely on their own proprietary software, what happens to global technology standards?
Oh, wow.
Right. We might not just be looking at a future with different brands of robots competing on a shelf. We might be looking at entirely separate realities of AI logic and physical automation that fundamentally cannot communicate with one another.
It all circles right back to that boring briefing room at the NDRC.
Yeah.
One mundane sentence about adapting domestic models to domestic chips. It didn't sound like much, but it was the starting gun for an entirely new industrial reality. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.